Well, the sermon topic today is how to become a Christian. And as I said before, it's the conclusion of our series on two ways to live. Now, before I go on further, is there any King's Kids today, Bob? No, that's right. Okay. If I had one text to be able to share with you today, it would have been out of that one that we just read in the Acts passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter said, in responding to the people who said, what do we do if we find out that we're displeasing to God? And he said, repent, be baptised, and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That'll be my text verse today. Repent and be baptised, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're here today at the invitation of a friend, we're really glad to see you here. It's very good that you've been able to come along. And most people here are, in fact, active, committed Christians. And many of them became like that because they were brought along to a church service or they were introduced to the things of God by a friend, just like you may have been introduced to these things by your friend. That friend was interested in their spiritual welfare, and so they decided to bring them along to church, just like you might have been brought along today. Now, frankly, I want to share with you today why you need to become a Christian. Why you need to become a Christian. That is, if you aren't already one, so I'm not making any assumptions at all here. Today we're going to look at what the Bible plainly says about how to become a Christian. And I'm going to use the 5 points that we have preached from the Two Ways to Live sermon series up until last week. And the first point is that God is actually there and he's in charge of this world. The Bible says that, and most people all the way around the globe of the world actually believe it. They've got different conceptions of what God is like, and many of them are wrong about that, and they, instead of having the true God, they've got an idol. But there are very few people who actually stand as committed atheists, non-God believers. Almost everyone around the world knows innately that God is actually there and that he is in charge of the world. And the Bible says it absolutely clearly. It says that God created the world, and it says that when he created the world, he made it good, and he made it with a purpose. Men and women were the focus of God's creation. He's interested in them. God has a destiny for men and women, and he will make a judgment over men and women. And as we've been going through the Two Ways to Live series, we've been looking at a group of pictures, and for each point we've got a simple picture. And that's the first picture. And as you can see, the Bible tells us that God is outside the world. He's the creator. He made the world. He made it good. And he created people, both men and women. And as it was in the first place, it was all very good. That's point number one. But something went wrong. Men and women made it go wrong. And they made it go wrong using the free choice that God had given to them. And using free choice, they disobeyed God's law and they decided to go their own way instead of going God's way. That's why I was happy to read the whole of the Ten Commandments to you today as part of our communion service. Because the Ten Commandments are a solid base that begins the revelation of God's direct law. I was also happy to read Jesus' summation of the law in the 2 points, love God with everything and love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus says in those 2 points, all the law is actually covered. Well, men and women had a free choice. And unfortunately, they made the wrong choice and they made things go wrong. It started back in the Garden of Eden, and it's gone on ever since then, right up until the present day. And you know what it's called when all this stuff has gone wrong? It's called sin. It's called sin. And Matt made a fantastic revelation to us a few weeks ago when he was preaching on this and showed to us what the nature of sin really is. It's not so much about breaking individual laws as trying to make yourself the lawmaker. So it's not so much about being a law breaker, although that is sin. When you break God's law, that is sin, but that's not the essence of it. The essence of sin is not breaking individual laws. The essence of sin is wanting to be the person who makes the laws. In other words, not letting God be God to make his own laws. And in the picture, there it is. So this is what people have done. They've tried to cross out God from being God. They themselves have stepped out from his perfect kingdom, and they have tried to put the crown on their own head. That is the essence of sin. And that is why the troubles in this world have come about. And so when people say to you, why is there so much suffering in the world? Why have relationships gone wrong and all the rest of it? That is why it is. It's because people, starting with Adam and Eve and then going all the way until now, have tried to take the law into their own hands and tried to take God's position as the one and only lawmaker. That's point number two. Well, point number three is that God will not let sin go on forever. The Bible says that God will not let sin go on forever. Everyone is guilty. The Bible says that quite clearly. But God is actually the boss. God is actually the boss. And in the end, God will be the judge. He will make judgment. God's law says that anyone who is guilty of sin will die. God said it to Adam and Eve in the garden right back then. He said, on the day you eat the fruit, you will surely die. There is a consequence to breaking my law. You've got free will and you can do it. But if you do, this is what will happen. And that law continues on. The wages, New Testament, the wages of sin, most of you know it, is death. Sin actually means death. And here's the picture. God is still God. We might try and cross him out, but you can't do that because God remains God. And the person who breaks God's perfect law and God's holiness will die. That's a very sad thing. It's a tragedy. But you know what? God did an amazing thing to save us from that death and to save us from punishment. The Bible says that God himself, but in the form of the Son, not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, but the Son, God the Son, actually came from heaven to the earth to take God the Father's judgment and to die in place of people who merit the judgment and the punishment, the penalty of sin, which is death. God the Son came from heaven himself graciously to do that. You see, someone had to die for your sin. It's only right, isn't it? If God's law says the wage of sin is death, it's only right that God's law be implemented. If God was to sweep it under the carpet and say, I didn't really mean that. Well, if you say he didn't really mean it, then it means he was a liar when he said the wages of sin is death. It's the wages of sin is death, unless we can change things around and negotiate. No, that's not justice. That's not truth. That's not righteousness. And when you're dealing with God's law, you're not dealing with the law that we seem to like. You know, we get pulled up by the policeman and we think we'd like to negotiate a little bit. But you can't do that in this case. It wouldn't be right. And so someone had to die for your sin. And the Bible says that Jesus was the one who took it on for you. The Bible says that Jesus did it by dying on the cross. And here's the picture. So there it is. Jesus came from God's heaven. God the Son actually came down to the earth
And you can see he's in a crucifix form there because it cost Jesus that. It cost him death at the cross.
You know what? God not only did that, he did another amazing thing, which is point five. The other amazing thing that God did was that Jesus, God the Son, did not stay dead. He was raised from death. In theological terms, that's called resurrection. God the Father, it says, has now appointed God the Son as our Saviour, who is alive, and as our Judge, who is alive. On the one hand, we should be very pleased and happy that we have a gracious Saviour who is alive, who can save us now. You're not still in the grave. He's alive and active and can save us now. But it also should give us fear, because it means that the Judge is also alive. The Judge has not been killed and stayed dead. Jesus, the Son of God, is now Saviour and Judge. Jesus Christ is now, in fact, the boss. God the Father has made him the boss of the whole world. The Bible says that Jesus will return to this world. And when he returns, it will be in power. And this time it won't be to come and suffer on the cross. This time it will be to clean up the whole human mess, this mess that people made when they sinned. And Jesus, as Judge, will separate those who are saved from those who are lost. And here's the picture. So there it is. Jesus is now the new boss. He wears the crown and he is above the whole world. The world is now his, and all the people on it are under his jurisdiction. Now he is available to be the Saviour, but he is also destined to be the Judge. And so the folk there in that picture, which is us, well, that leaves us with a decision to make, which brings us to the conclusion. You see, the Bible says that there are only two ways to live, which is the topic of this whole sermon series. There are only two ways to live. And there they are. The person on the left wishes to be independent from God. The person on the right wishes to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ and dependent on God. There's an insurmountable dividing line between these two. You can either live that way or you can live that way. There is no fence to sit on. You can't be in the two camps. To live independent from God, you choose to reject the true boss, who is God. And you try to run life your own way. You see, this guy tries to wear the crown. He tries to be the king himself. It's basically having yourself as number one, which reminds me of quite a number of ads that we see on TV, don't we? The most important person in the world? You. Who is number one? You. That's what we're told by our media, and that's the lie of the world, the flesh and the devil. It's actually trying to make yourself your own little god, and that's how a lot of people live, particularly in the Western world. The Bible says, though, that this is going to result in judgment. God's not going to let that go. It's going to result in, because that's the essence of sin. So it's going to result in judgment, and the Bible warns us it will result in eternal death, which means being away from heaven forever and ever and ever. That's pretty bad. But the other way to live is this way, to actually be dependent on God. Now, many of us here who have heard me preach over the years know that you can substitute the word faith for dependence. So when we say living dependent on God, this means living with faith in God. This means accept that Jesus Christ, as you see in the picture, is in fact the real king, the real boss. And it means that you submit to his leadership. That's what it comes down to. Submitting to his lordship. Rely on the Lord Jesus' death and on his resurrection to save you from that holy judgment which is coming from the Lord God. The Bible says that if you do that, this results in two things happening, and they're both good. Firstly, it results in forgiveness for sin. The sin happened, but it's been wiped away as far as the east is from the west. So will he remove your sins from you. That's the first good thing that happens. The second good thing that happens is that it gives you eternal life, and that means heaven. That means life with God in heaven. Now, these two ways to live could not be more different. They cannot be more different than they are. God has given every person in this world a choice. We've still got choice, just like Adam and Eve had. And the question for the series is, which way do you want to live? Which way do you want to live? Do you want to have faith in yourself, or do you want to have faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you know that you really want to live with God as the king instead of yourself as the king, this is what you can do about it. There's two steps, and it's easy. It's easy to understand. The problem is doing it. The first step is to actually become a Christian. That's what you can do about the problem. You can become a Christian. And you do that by talking to God and by telling him about it. That is, you pray to God. And, oh, yes, I've brought it in my back pocket. I brought the two ways to live thing. And here's the prayer in the back of a little booklet. Wouldn't it be great to carry one of these around in your purse, just like I'm able to carry it around in my pocket, and be able to bring this out at the time? And here's the prayer. Have a listen to it. I'm going to read this prayer out loud for you to listen to, and later on I'm going to pray the prayer. And there may be people who for the first time will pray this today because they decide they want to become a Christian and play it God's way. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you, God, for sending God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for me so that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. That's the prayer. That's the first step. If you prayed that prayer seriously, and you'd never prayed that before, something like that before, if you meant it, then God will hear it and you will become a Christian from not being a Christian. That's why I thought I'd preach on light next week, because in making that step you come from darkness into the light, from outside heaven, inside heaven. The second step, though, is application of that. You've got to start putting that prayer into action. There's no use just saying the words to God and not having a change in your life. Your life must be changed, or it probably indicates there was no real heart change. And how do you put that prayer into action? Well, you join the Christian church. And I'd recommend, seeing as you're here, join this church. Come along to this church. It's as good as any other. We preach God's word. We fellowship together. We pray together. It's a good place to be. Join the church. The second thing is you need to start reading your Bible to find out what God's word says. You need to learn it. Then start talking to God regularly and give him his due place. In other words, learn to pray. And lastly, you need to obey Jesus' command to do what your friend did for you. You need to tell other people that you care about that they need to become Christians just like you became a Christian. They're the things that God needs you to do in order to show that the prayer was real. Now I'm going to ask everyone just to bow their head, and this time we're going to come to the Lord in true prayerfulness, and I'm going to read that exact prayer again, and this may be your prayer. If this is your prayer for the first time and you become a Christian today, I don't want you to leave today without telling me, or if I'm caught up, you could talk to Matt, you could talk to Bob, you could talk to Carol if she's still around, any of the people who you know are Christian elders in the church and can help you through. So here's our prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am, in fact, guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending God the Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my new ruler, because I pray it in his name. Amen. Well, that's the end of the sermon. May God bless you. If you already are a Christian, you've been a Christian for years, for decades. What's the point of this sermon today for you? Well, it's obvious. The point is, when it comes time for you to be able to tell someone how to become a Christian, grab yourself a little Two Ways to Live booklet, go through the five pictures with them and say to them, you need to become a Christian. This is the prayer you would pray. That's what the sermon is for our regular Christian folk. May the Lord bless you in all of that.